So as is usually the case, Giriraj Maharaj has very eloquently described the holy name, the glories of the holy name, the holy name being the means to attain the highest perfection. But in the application, we often find a big problem. There seems to be a very major obstacle between the theory and the kind of application. So can anyone say what the main obstacle that we face when we chant Krishna's name? More fundamental. Yes? More fundamental. Sorry? Yeah, okay.
No, no attraction. Material attraction.
All those things are true. Certainly.
No faith. In perfect senses? Desire?
One very fundamental thing. It's kind of the source of all those things.
Not recognizing the holiness of perfection.
Yes, that's all true. What do we struggle with? When we chant, when we're sitting down to chant, well, he said inattentiveness, but why are we inattentive? Yes, the mind. The mind poses the greatest obstacle when we sit down to chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes we hear that beyond the 10 offenses or something called sometimes the 11th offense, which is inattentiveness while chanting. Because there's a tendency for the mind to either dwell in the past or it jumps ahead to the future, thinking about things we've done or kind of looking forward and, you know, anticipating that we may do this or we may do that. So because of that, we're very rarely in the present moment. We're either in the past or we're in the future. So we could be sitting down and we could be chanting an either kirtan or japa. Although with kirtan, just because of the nature of the activity and the power with so many devotees coming together, it's in some ways a little easier to focus and to be in the present moment. But I think it's a bigger challenge when we actually sit down to chant, you know, ourselves individually, put our hands in the bead bag, and we start to chant our rounds. Because then we have to really go into the arena and face that great opponent, the mind. So therefore, one of our great acharyas in our line, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his poems that he wrote in English, he said that, "Forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call." So forget the past, because we can't really do anything about it. Whatever we've done, whatever we've said, it's something we can't change. The future, never dream at all. Well, we can make plans, but we have limited ability to do too much about it. We can't be sure, We can try our best. But he's focusing on to live in times that are with thee, the present moment. So when you chant, you should be in that present moment and focusing on chanting nicely, uttering the mantra. I mean, even sometimes that is a problem. We can do what is sometimes called mindless chanting. Unfortunately, sometimes the mantra is, as one Mahārāja said, and it was kind of mentioned in the purport, one becomes very creative with the Maha Mantra and can take a piece out or add another piece to it. Years ago, at one temple, a devotee was adding some words and or taking some away. Now he would get caught like kind of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Like this. Something like that. Many Krishnas, many Ramas. So I said, you know, I think you're adding too many Krishnas in the mantra. He said, no. And so he said, I think there's something wrong with your hearing. Not hearing correctly. So what I did, unknown to him, was I recorded his japa in a mood to try to help him improve. So I recorded it, and just as I had heard, many, many Krishnas. So I played it back to him. And I said, you know, I just took the liberty of making this recording so you could hear, so maybe you could improve. So I played it back to him, and I said, now what do you think? He said, I don't think anything. He said, that's not me. I don't chant like that. That can't be me. I don't chant like that. Sometimes we fall into that trap of, you know, not really hearing, so we may be chanting not even the 16-word Maha Mantra. So that's the first thing. Prabhupada says, chant the Maha Mantra clearly. And then to actually hear, listen to the mantra. Now, we know that Bhagavad Gita says the mind can be the best of friends and it can also be the worst of enemies. So it's the best of friends when it's cooperating with us to actually listen to the Maha Mantra. Now, Burijan Prabhu, he has written a book, what is it called? Japa?
Just Japa.
Japa. So he has different principles or techniques that he has kind of come up with. And one of them is to chant just try to listen to one mantra. Means just one 16-word Maha Mantra. We just try to ask the mind, engage the mind in listening to one Maha Mantra. And when we've done that, then we ask the mind, listen to one Maha Mantra. And the reason for this is that the mind has a tendency to wander. We may start out listening, chanting nicely, actually listening nicely to the mantra, one, two, three, and then very soon the mind can just go somewhere else. And if we just watch the mind, we will realize this. Oftentimes the mind is so uncontrolled that it may be wandering and we don't even realize it. So it's a big step to know that the mind is wandering. So that's the first step, to just kind of watch the mind and see where it goes when we're chanting, and are we actually listening with full attention to the Maha Mantra. So give the mind a simple task. And as Burijan Prabhu says, if you give the mind a simple task, then the mind will begin to act simply. So this is part of a process of training the mind. We have to train it because for who knows how many lifetimes, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of lifetimes, you know, we've allowed the subtle body just to run wild. So now we're trying to corral it, and it tends to be quite rebellious. So we kind of tame the mind by just giving it a very simple task: listen to one mantra. There are some other things that one can do to help in the process of chanting. There are three questions you can ask yourself. So the first question is, what am I doing? What am I doing? When I sit down to chant, what is it that I'm doing right now? Because, again, you could sit and you can chant, and we've all had that experience, and we may be doing something completely different with other senses. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes devotees try to multitask. Because, you know, nowadays there's a lot of emphasis on multitasking, right? Multitasking, and you can do many things at the same time. So the idea is, if you multitask, then you can accomplish many, many things. So devotees tend to be, or they can be, creative when they chant Hare Krishna. You know, the bead bag, the beads are twirling, the lips are moving, but the eyes may be looking at what? Computer screen? TV? iPhone? So devotees are expert. You can chant with your right hand, then you can text with your left. Takes a bit of coordination, but anybody can learn it after a while. Unfortunately, these things are there. That's why Prabhupada often said, just chant Hare Krishna. You heard that before? He says, just chant Hare Krishna. It sounds like a very simple thing. Just chant Hare Krishna. And that's what he meant. When you chant, you just chant. You don't do anything else. So first, what are we doing? Bring the mind to attentiveness that we're sitting down, or you can also walk, but that you're just trying to chant nicely and trying to hear the Maha Mantra. The next thing is, what is the meaning? Because oftentimes Prabhupada said it was a prayer. So if we're in a mood of prayer, we're prayerful, we're reaching out, we're trying to connect with Krishna. So we're trying to submit, we're trying to offer ourselves, we're trying to reach out for mercy. So, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me, us, in your service. So we're asking for service. So it's a prayer. We're in a mood of prayer. Now, if we're in the mood of prayer, you know, we wouldn't really think about moving the consciousness to something else. You know, it's like if you invite someone to come to your home, and you tell them to come at such and such time, and, well, maybe you're going to prepare a meal for them. So they come, they arrive at your doorstep, you open the door, you see them, and then what do you do? That's ideal. But someone might just see them and just take the door and slam it in their face. Now that's quite rude, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? I mean, who would do such a thing? Very rude person, uncultured. But sometimes we chant Hare Krishna. Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So we're asking for Krishna's audience. So Prabhupada said that when you chant Krishna's name, he dances on your tongue. So Krishna is there. And then Krishna is there, and then your mind flies somewhere else. It's the same as just slamming the door in someone's face that you've invited. You're inviting Krishna to come, and then when he comes, then your mind flies somewhere else. So it's very disrespectful to do that. So we should meditate on the meaning that we want to be engaged in Krishna's service. We want to connect with Krishna. We want to become the servant of Krishna like this. And then the third question is, what do I want to achieve? I was just listening to a class that Srila Prabhupada was giving on the prayers of the seventh canto by Prahlad Maharaj. And he made the point that materialists, they always calculate profit in terms of dollars. In other words, each day they try to see, how much will I make by the end of the day? Right? But he said that a devotee, one who is devoted to Krishna, he or she thinks, how much spiritual advancement will I make by the end of this day? How much will I achieve spiritually? It may only be a little bit, but the desire should be that I want to advance a little bit more today than I did yesterday. So one should have that clear goal. I want to advance. And as many of the, or at least a couple of the fences kind of touched on, the goal and the purpose of chanting is not to gain anything material. We don't chant for material betterment. But the goal is ultimately to please Krishna. That's why we do japa, and that's why we do kirtan. Ultimately, we want to bring pleasure to Krishna, because Krishna likes to hear his name chanted. So therefore, we want to chant his name in the purest possible way we can. We're fully attentive, we're focused, we're in a prayerful mood, we're trying to offer ourselves, and it's very clear that the only reason we're doing this is to bring him pleasure, so that he is satisfied by our humble attempt at serving him. So these three little questions, if we ask ourselves every time that we're ready to sit down and chant japa: what am I doing? What is the meaning of what I'm chanting? Very clear in my consciousness. And what do I want to achieve as the result of sitting down to chant the Hare Krishna mantra? And if one does that, one gets so much benefit. Because the fact is that unless and until one is actually attentive, one will not gain the strength to overcome the other 10 offenses. One has to be attentive. Otherwise, it will be very, very difficult to overcome these other offenses. The tendency will be there. It'll be too easy to give in to the whim of the mind. So attentive chanting is the most important thing. So we say, we want to chant without offense, we want to chant with full attention, and we want to chant with as much love in our hearts as we possibly can muster up. And if we do that, it's a huge, huge step forward. Otherwise, one can go on for lifetimes chanting mindlessly and make very little advancement. So I don't know about you all, but I would prefer not to have to do it for many, many lifetimes, although I might have to, I would prefer, as Prabhupada said, to finish the business in this lifetime. How many would like to join me with that? Okay. So it's not difficult. I mean, in theory. No offenses, attentive, and with love. If we do that, the holy name is like a touchstone. Harinam Chintamani. It fulfills all the innermost spiritual desires. And it gives us Krishna Prema, the highest thing. So with that, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments? Okay, we got three.
Go ahead.
How to do this? We have Bhakta Ravi, Nityananda Chandra, and Rasa Sundari. Ladies first. Is that what you said? Wait. Can you repeat it for our larger audience?
Sometimes we hear devotees, they chant Ram. They say Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So is this still considered the whole name?
It should be Rama. So short A, we should say Rama. Sometimes the A is not vocalized very much, but if you listen closely to Srila Prabhupada chanting, it is Rama. So yeah, we should chant 16 syllables. Yeah.
Now, sometimes in the Oriental countries, it's very hard to pronounce R. R becomes L. So Rama becomes Lama. And it's quite difficult, especially for newcomers. And it really takes time. And even so, it tends to go in that direction. So is that still considered chanting Rama?
Well, I would say that Krishna appreciates the effort. Bhava Grahi Janardana. He accepts the mood of the offering. Srila Prabhupada gave a talk in New Vrindavan about the Guru Vastakam, the eight prayers in glorification of the spiritual master. And he said sometimes instead of saying Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda, they say Guru or something that means cow. But Srila Prabhupada said Bhava Grahi Janardana, he appreciates the effort, the mood. But at the same time, we, as these devotees are doing, make that effort to learn how to pronounce it, and then it'll be even better. Bhakta Ravi?
Can you help speak a little bit on chanting 24 hours a day and not being distracted and still doing other things?
Well, chanting 24 hours a day is the goal. Srila Jiva Goswami recommends that other performances be accompanied by the chanting of the holy names. But we should also understand that reading Srimad Bhagavatam includes the holy name. It doesn't mean that we should chant japa while we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It happened that Srila Prabhupada was giving class in Indore, and one devotee was chanting japa, and he said, unless you can hear both the japa and Srimad Bhagavatam at the same time, you should not try to do both. There are yogis who can do that. They can do several things at the same time and pay attention, but ordinary people can't, so we should choose one. His Holiness Giridhari Swami spoke about multitasking. And research, but anyway, it's a little bit of an intricate subject. But some research has determined that actually you cannot do more than one thing at a time. You can only do a number of different things in quick succession. And that for the brain to be brain or mind or consciousness, to be mobilized in a certain direction, it takes effort. And then to change its direction or change its focus takes another exertion. So there, the results of the research or the conclusion of the research is that it's more efficient to do one thing at a time. Because when you multitask, you're not actually doing two things at the same time. You're just going back and forth between two things. And every time you go back and forth, you have to refocus your mind, your energy, your intelligence. So, but yeah, in some ashrams in India, they would always chant, like even while taking prasad, or they wouldn't say, you know, pass the salt, but they would say, Krishna, Krishna, or, you know. So you can do it. You can put in chanting. Like Jiva Goswami, he taught grammar, but all in relation to the holy name. So it wasn't inattentiveness, but it was integrating the holy name with other activities.
All right. Just echo what Mars said. The fact is that the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. And like you said, the mind jumps back and forth to different things. It's jumping. So you really can't do two things at the same time. It's actually not possible. So to try to do so is going to be a distraction. So we're trying to chant 24 hours a day. That's our goal. But as Mara said, we may be chanting japa. We may be doing kirtan. We may be reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Or engaging in other services. And along with that, we may be chanting. We can also chant within the mind. That's also there. But the main thing is to always try to be chanting and try to keep the mind engaged in that way. I mean, if you've seen, I mean, those of us who have seen videos and things of Prabhupada, for example, you know, he's speaking about Krishna, or he's chanting japa, or, you know, he's giving direction. All of that's kind of a form of kirtan. I don't see that, when, like, for example, when Prabhupada was giving directions to devotees on management, I think that's also a form of kirtan, because it was only for the pleasure of Krishna. So it's also a form of kirtan. So I get, you could expand it to your service also. But if it's possible, we try to also accompany that service with the chanting. Just like we do deity worship, we also are chanting the holy name. So like this.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There was a comic strip made by a devotee about multitasking. So there's a devotee, and he's chanting, and there's a math question in his head, and then groceries, that's the first slide. Second slide, he has his bead bag, and he's just like this. Third slide, he's got a surprise face, and he goes, I didn't even know I was chanting. It's multitask.
Yeah. One thought I had when Marv was talking about, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, I note sometimes I see devotees, I can't figure out why or what they're doing, but they often are chanting while they're sitting in a class. That always bewilders me. I really don't understand what that's all about. Chanting japa, but then someone speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So according to what we've said, the mind can't focus on two things at the same time. So either do one or the other. And Prabhupada, he gave this as one of the five most important activities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, also chanting Hare Krishna. But not at the same time. Do one or the other. Right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, besides being disrespectful to the speaker, I mean, we wouldn't have thought to do such things in Prabhupada's presence, to sit there and chant japa while he was speaking.
Yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that just as Krishna is always accompanied by his internal potency, Radha, Harinam should also always be accompanied by Harikatha. So the two go together. And
Maharaj, one of the biggest challenge I find in my sadhana is that the more I say no to these propensities of sense gratification, the demands increase and the mind becomes more agitated for me. So I was requesting Your Holiness if you could offer some quick tips, kind of a thing, when in those weak moments, when the agitation is more, what can I do at that moment? Is there something that I can get past through that and then get over it and then continue my sadhana? Is there something I can do, Maharaj?
Well, the mind is like an unruly child. Like, how do you get an unruly child to behave? There are different approaches. One is bribery. Another is withholding of facilities. So applying this to japa, so what it can be, okay. I mean, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that you can begin with at least not interrupting one round. the new crease, not interrupting four rounds, and not interrupting eight. Not, so you can sort of, like with a child, I'm not going to allow you to eat or drink until you finish your however many rounds. And on the other hand, once you complete your quota, you can reward yourself. Like I know one devotee, after he completes his quota, he celebrates by having a sweet. Or he rewards himself, or rewards his mind by giving his mind a sweet. So you sort of have to. And, you know, make it, you can make it, you know, the mind will say, oh, whatever, this is so boring, I'm so restless, I have to do this. Like Burijan Prabhu says, the mind will always tell you that you have more important things to do than chant Hare Krishna. So then, you know, just, all right, anyway, at least finish this round. Anyway, finish this round, let me do another one. And that's another way, just keep, you know. But it is tricky. It is tricky. And you might have, sometimes it can be, like, generally we shouldn't use japa time to make to-do lists. One of our godbrothers is a very big businessman, very big. And he's very serious about japa as well. And he said one thing he does to facilitate his japa is he sits down and makes lists of what he has to do. So that when he's chanting japa, it's like we're so busy we don't even take the time to make a list of what we have to do. We're so busy doing things. The only time we're not busy doing things, we think, is when we're chanting. So, you know, with our lips and fingers, we're thinking, oh yeah, I have to pay the rent. I almost forgot I have to do it. So many things we have to do. And so generally you shouldn't do that, you know, make lists. But it could happen that you neglected something really important. And, okay, you have this thing, okay, I'm not going to interrupt my japa to write it down. But then the whole time you're thinking, now how do I remember this? What can I do so I don't forget? So it might actually be useful on occasion to write it down and then be done with it. So it's a constant, it's like dealing with an unruly child. It goes on. It doesn't, it's not like you find a solution and that's the end. It goes on. We have to call on Ajamil. Ajamil Prabhu.
The mind, you know, what do you say that you cannot do simultaneously, same time, many things. It's true. Nobody can do that. But sometimes mind is wandering. There was one poet came exactly when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there on the earth, name called Michael Madhusudan Datta. He wrote five novels in the same time. And those novels become, of course, it's all material stuff, but nonetheless, he make 5 books at the same time he was writing, and those 5 books become very, very almost like a Nobel Prize status of books. How that happened?
Well, I don't think he was writing all 5 at the same time.
Yes, same time. He
would have had to be writing...
With 5 hands.
No, one pen in the right hand, one pen in the left hand, one pen in the right foot,
no, Maharaj,
one pen in left foot, and one pen in his mouth.
No, no, he appointed 5 people. No. It's not loving.
No,
he appointed 5 people, and he simultaneously, okay, what I stop? Then he tell, okay, like, what is stop? So he appointed 5 people, and he was writing 5 books at the same time. It is the history, documented history. So how that happened, I'm giving authentic, his name is Michael Madhusudan Datta, and he wrote 5 books at the same time. He was not writing, he was just detecting, you know, 5 people, different people, same time.
Well, while we're on the subject, you should see my chiropractor. He has 5 beds, or tables, as they call them, and he works on 5 patients at the same time. How does he do that? But I do want to say something about playing musical instruments in kirtan. That we should practice the musical instrument so that we become proficient. So when we're chanting, our mind really can be focused on the holy name, because we have already mastered the technique. Otherwise, if you're trying to learn, you know, how to play mridanga during the kirtan, or how to play harmonium during the kirtan, you won't be able to focus on the holy name. And that, so, yes, that's part of our service, to learn how to play our musical instrument proficiently, so that when we're in the kirtan, we're not distracted by figuring out how to play the notes or play the beats. But that becomes like second nature. And our real focus is on the holy name. And another point, not directly related to kirtan, but since I have you here, I've noticed 2 people in the room put their finger in their mouth. The mouth is considered the dirtiest orifice in the body, and if you shouldn't do that, but if you do that, you actually should go out and wash your hands. Prabhupada would do that if someone did that. Sometimes without thinking, you know, we just probably say go and wash your hands and come back. There are many things, and they all actually contribute. It's part of being attentive, and it's part of being clean. And if we're, you know, these are all sacred things. Our japa mala, Sri Mridanga, Sri Kartal, these are all sacred objects. So we should be clean when we touch them. Srimad Bhagavatam.
As you say, Maharaj, it's true. In the kirtan, many things I saw. One time, one person was very mad with me because in the whole kirtan, everybody dancing, chanting, and still with the beat back chanting. So I told him physically, I said, Prabhu, if you need to chant, go outside, don't be here. And he was so mad, and he complained, Ajamil did that, because I took him out from the kirtan. I said, if you're chanting, why you want to be in the kirtan, Prabhu? Can you go out and chant?
Hare Krishna. So now let's do kirtan. Mother Sucharya, do you have a question?
About the question about chanting 24 hours a day, there was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada who asked him, how can I please you the most? And he said, when you're chanting 24 hours a day, that will please me the most. So how could one do that? I know that you touched briefly on that, but when you're chanting all the time, you're also working. So what's the best way to do that without being inattentive, without being offensive, but to always chant 24 hours a day? Should one keep like a just softly chanting and connecting to the holy name and yet doing all our duties?
Yeah, just chant as much as you can. I mean, our chanting is, I mean, if we're lucky, our chanting is interrupted by service. But we do so many things that we don't have to do. I mean, there's service, yeah, we have to do, but there are many things we do that we don't have to do. So to begin with, we could decrease those things, unnecessary items, unwanted items, and increase the chanting. And, yeah, there. But that is the goal. That is the goal. And I know devotees, you know, contemporaries, they really do that. They chant whenever there's nothing else occupying their mind with Krishna, they chant. Now, it's a matter of practice. Practice makes perfect. And as we develop taste, then we do it. Yeah, when you have taste for it, then naturally you'll do it. Hare Krishna. So our last kirtan leaders for today's program will be His Holiness Giridhari Swami and his associate devotees who have come all the way from the Philippine Islands to chant the holy names with us. Hari Hari.